Hey, you're listening to the Intentional Mind Podcast, and I'm Ange Barnard. This is a podcast all about helping you intentionally design your life using the power of your mind, faith, and energy. And on this episode, we're talking about finding the love of your life. I'm giving some wisdom on that. And if you have been blessed to have found the love of your life, I bet you still know people who haven't found the love of their life and are searching for them. And if so, this podcast is going to give you some wisdom on things that you can share with them. And if you are someone that is still on that journey and you've been thinking, like you just want to be with someone that is a really good fit for you. And let's be real, when you are alone, sometimes that can feel really lonely. Duh, being alone can feel very lonely. And people can lose hope in those situations that they're going to be able to find someone that is a good fit for them. So my intent is that this podcast episode inspires people, that it gets people being more intentional about what they're looking for in a significant other and about the relationship that they create. That is my intent. And I've been asked to do this episode by several people that I know that are on the journey of finding a significant other that is the best fit for them. Their ideal significant other. So with all of that being said, I'm going to take you back in time. So before I met my now husband, Ian, I was in a relationship with someone who had cheated on me. And that was like the straw that broke the camel's back kind of incident. But it's interesting because now I can say that was one of the best things to have ever happened to me, because I think it's what needed to happen for me to leave a relationship that really wasn't, in my opinion, a good relationship. Like, we just weren't a good fit with each other. And I'm not saying this to, demean the person that I was with, because I actually do think the person I was with was a genuinely good person. But who may have made a bad decision, but generally speaking, I think he was a good person and still is a good person. But as far as being a good fit with me, not so much. Like, our values, I feel like we're very different in the way that we wanted to live our life. But back then, so if I would have known what I know now and would have gotten the advice that I'm going to give, I would have never been with him to begin with. But I didn't think like that. You know, so I wasn't intentional with my life. So after this breakup and stuff happened, obviously I'm feeling lonely and just like trying to figure out what's the next steps for me and all of that. And I started turning to God more, truthfully, and like my faith, and really just diving into that. And I was listening to Andy Stanley. If you're not familiar with Andy Stanley, he's a pastor, and his dad was a pastor forever, Charles Stanley. So anyways, I love Andy Stanley because, this is a side note, but I love him because he kind of reminds me of the way he kind of transitions and speaks. Like, he's a very fast talker like me, but he kind of like goes from one thing to the next thing, but then all of a sudden everything makes sense and it combines at the end. And I just think it's fun and entertaining to try to follow him, but he's so still a very awesome speaker. That's just my side note. But anyways, Andy Stanley said this, and it really just stood out to me. He said to be the person you're looking for is looking for. And at first I was like, wait, what? What do you mean by that? Be the person you're looking for is looking for, right? So in order for you to be the person that the person you're looking for is looking for, you got to know what you're even looking for. And this hit me because it sounds so dumb, but I had never sat down and really thought about, what am I looking for in a significant other? What are the qualities that I'm looking for in a significant other? And then would that person, that kind of person, even want to be with someone like me, right? So it was interesting to me to hear it this way. So then I started reading some books about dating and all of that. And I stumbled across a website called truelovedates.com, or I stumbled across the book or something. The book is called True Love Dates. It's written by a Christian counselor, Deborah Folletta. And back in the day, guys, I guest blogged for her. I did wrote my first blog online for her years ago. talking about how I was able, I used her book and how I actually, you know, met Ian, and it was a result of, I truly believe, the wisdom that I gained from the book and all of that. So I was able to share that with the world. So anyways, I read the book, and in Deborah's book, she had a lot of wisdom that aligned with Andy Stanley. And her book talks about dating. And basically she says that you need to, in a nutshell, date inward. So let me pull up my notes right now, because I actually have my old blog post and I want to make sure I cover all the things on it. And there's such a cute picture in the blog post that I have. I've never shared this picture, but it's me hugging Ian, and he has like this huge smile on his face. And if you guys have ever seen my husband Ian or in photos, he has a beautiful smile. He's also a dentist, but he does have a very beautiful smile, and he's just like beaming. And I love that he gets so excited about things, you know, like the smallest things, he gets so excited and he smiles from like ear to ear. He has a big head with a big smile, and it's just making me laugh because I'm looking at him right now as I'm looking at this picture, and I'm hugging him, facing him, and he's like glowing because it looks like he just thinks of me as such a prized possession, and it's just a cute thing. Okay, side note. All right, so moving on from that, let me look at my notes real quick. So she talks about in the book three different stages of dating that you want to do. She talks about dating inward, dating outward, and dating upward. So I'm going to dive into those three different concepts of dating. But the whole point is, when she's talking about these different ways of dating, she also says that the dating inward part is when you start to reflect on what it is that, like, so let me clarify this, because I feel like I'm just going to ramble unless I read it to you. So basically she says dating inward as it's shifting your focus from who you are with to who you are being. So I love this so much, because y'all know the stuff that I teach now, it's all about who are you being. That's the real goal. And when you are being a certain kind of person, you create certain kinds of results in your life. We need to stop being attached to specific results and focus more on who we are being and how we are showing up. And this also applies with dating. So, going on from that, she talks about like getting clear about what it is that you're even looking for in someone. And she goes on to talk about the red lights, the green lights, the yellow lights, and making note of those. So I remember writing down this. It's been years since I've read this book, so I'm refreshing my memory here. But I remember writing down the green lights, like proceed. Like if you like, these are the things you're looking for in someone, they're green lights, right? And then the red are like, stop. If you immediately see this behavior, stop. This is not someone that you want to continue dating. And the yellow is like, proceed with caution kind of thing. So I remember doing this exercise, and I just wrote down everything that I was looking for in someone, like all the green lights. I wrote them down. I wrote down silly things like that they like cereal, and I need to pull out my list. I have it typed somewhere. But anyways, they like cereal, that they have faith, like they're a man of God, but they're not a weirdo. I don't know if anyone can resonate with me when I say this, but like, I don't even know if weirdo is the right word. But what I'm trying to say is like, they love God and they're going to go to church with me if I want to go to church, but they're also going to have a beer with me. Like, they're not going to be like, no, I can't have that. I mean, I respect people's wishes for not wanting to drink, but you know, like, because it's not like I'm making myself sound like I'm an alcoholic over here. I promise you I'm not. I barely ever drink anything. It's like a running joke between my friends and family of how I never finish one drink. But anyways, my point of this is that I wanted the person to be like loving and open and not so like rigid and on the extreme end of like weirdness. Because you know how religion can take you there sometimes? I don't know, maybe I'm just judging, but you get what I mean. So I wrote that down, that I was looking for someone like that, that was adventurous, that loved nature and all of these things. So I write that down on my green lights, and that's what I recommend for you. And that's what I recommend you tell other people, is that they get clear about who they're looking for so they can spot them. And they also get clear about what it is that they don't want. So the red lights are things like straight up, if you behave this way, I'm not continuing talking to you. It's not worth my time. It's important that we know this because the old me that was in that relationship with the guy who cheated on me, I never thought about what I was looking for. If I would have wrote down all the things I wanted in someone, I would have known very quickly that he was not the person for me. Right? And even like red flags, like a red flag for me is when somebody is going to, like, is not willing to go out of their way for you. Because I remember, this is a story that always sticks out in my mind, is that when I was with this person back in the day, I spent hours helping them with their resume, working on their resume. Because, you know, like, I'm pretty skilled at the whole resume thing since I've been doing career coaching for a long time. So anyways, I was helping him with that, which actually led to some amazing jobs for him, side note. But anyways, I've spent hours. I'm working on this with him, right? And I remember asking for water, if he'd go downstairs and get me some water. And he was just kind of annoyed with me. Like, he didn't want to go down there and get me water. And I remember thinking, like, really? Like, I'm doing this for you. I've spent hours of my time when I could be doing anything else. And you won't even give me a glass of water? Like, that was... But so basically that kind of selfish behavior like that, that would have been on my red list. But I didn't ever do this work before. And I would have saw that stuff very quickly. I would have noticed that. So anyways, I started writing on my green list, like someone that demonstrates like this love for me, that they would go out of their way for me. So anyways, I got clear on this list, as she says, and I went through the process of dating inward, like focusing on who I want to be. Right. And I thought about, once I got clear about who I'm looking for, I started thinking, like, how can I be the person that that kind of person would want to be with? That kind of person, the person that I described in my whole green list, would want to be with someone like who? Someone who values themselves. Someone who is confident in, I guess, about the direction that they want to take their life. That is loving, that is whatever. So I write down all these qualities and I'm like, my goal is to just focus on being this person. That's what I'm going to do. I let go of me trying to force myself to meet someone and get online and just like manipulate the situation. Because we do that sometimes, us girls, like we'll do a guy's too, but you try to like just force it. And you know when you're trying to force it and that's just not going to work for you. It's going to be like repelling energy there. So anyways, I was like, I let go. I'm not going to be on dating sites. I'm not going to do any of that. I am just going to focus on being the person that I think the person that I'd want to be with would want to be with. Almost like you're focusing on being a match for that person. So I did that. And the dating, well, let me move on a little bit. So the dating outward part that she talks about is that vision. Like, so she says, I wrote this, where there is no vision, the people perish. We know that quote from the Bible, Proverbs 29:18. So before you date outward, you want to get your vision down. You write down what you're looking for in a spouse beyond just looks. As I tell my coaching clients, it's important to be clear about what you don't want and what you do want so you'll know when you find it. And that's why we do the red light, yellow, green list kind of thing. So that's the whole part she talks about dating outward. So dating inward, getting clear on like, who you want to be, really thinking about who, what you even want. Dating outward is the whole list of that. Okay, then what I did was I prayed about it. So I prayed about, you know, finding someone. I prayed about peace during the waiting. I prayed for the person that I was eventually going to be with. Like, I trusted they were already out there. I just had not met them yet. So I prayed for their well-being. And that they're doing something awesome right now that contributes to our future life. And I acted as if, okay, it's a done deal. I don't have to stress about it. Eventually I'll meet them, right? So then I went on my own journey of like, I remember I was all about, you know, doing anything that scared me during that time. Like I did some extra training with the military that was on my own. And I was just putting myself out there. And it was so weird because I started attracting really quality guys in my life. And after I wrote this list down, right? So I wrote this letter. It was, well, I basically made a list, but I wrote it as if it was, the person was already there. Like I wrote prayers for them. It sounds like weird when I think about it now, but it seemed to have worked very well. So 2 months after writing down my entire list, I met Ian. And it was a very unexpected, fun way. If you're not familiar with Ian's How I Met Ian, listen up because it's pretty fun. So basically, in a nutshell, I went on a date with a guy who I had, while I was on this dating app online, I was on there for like 5 seconds before I freaked out and got off. And it was because my friend had created this thing for me. So long story short, I met one guy on there had messaged me and he seemed like a good quality guy. And I had gone on a date with him after I got off the site and everything. And it was just, that's it. I'm like, oh, this one date with this guy. And it didn't really go anywhere. So he was a teacher. Well, he had just stopped teaching because he was a farmer, helping his family own like a huge hog farm. And he was a quality, truly nice guy. It was kind of funny too that he owned like a huge hog farm, because I was like totally against, like, I mean, I had Wally, my pig, and that's, yeah. So I actually went to the farm and I had seen all the pigs and he was giving them shots for the ones that were sick. And I was like, I can't live this life. And he was very much of like a homebody. And if y'all know me, I like to get out and like explore and have fun. And it was just, we were very different, but he was super, super nice. So anyways, he was on a TV show. The TV show was called It Takes a Church. It was basically like a mini version of The Bachelor, except, how do I describe this right? Churches decided on who the candidates were going to be and who, like, the whole point of it was like the girl was going to pick who she would like to continue dating. It was going to narrow down, and then money went to charity. Whoever won got to decide where money was going to be donated, and if they wanted to keep dating, they could. But the church played a role in picking the finalists for her to continue dating. Okay, so he was on this show. He was part of a church that got selected for the show, and he was like an eligible bachelor and all of that. So it comes down to him and one other guy, and the girl had chose him. This guy won the show. So I was going on dates with him as he was following the show being, well, it was being edited, basically. He had met the girl and didn't really hit it off with her. Like, they didn't actually end up dating, but the show was still going to get aired. So he had told me about this, and he wasn't supposed to tell me that he was the winner of the show because it was not like public knowledge. But he told me this because we were on a date, and I had talked about how I was a broadcast journalist in the Army. And he's like, oh, I've had my time on camera too. And he shares this info to me. I was like, oh, interesting. So we didn't hit it off, right? So I am out one day after grad school. I went out to eat with some friends, and my friend was asking me about, you know, how's it going with that one guy? And I was like, it's not really going anywhere. But there's a funny story is that he actually was on the show, and I show her a trailer of the show because it was getting teased because it was going to be airing soon. And another guy was tagged in it. You want to know who was tagged in it? Ian. So Ian was tagged in the video. And she clicks on it and she's like, Angela, who's this other guy? And I was like, I don't know. And she's like, is he on the show? I'm like, I'm assuming, since he's tagged in it. And she clicks on it, starts looking at his stuff, and she's like, Ange, I really think you would like him. And I was like, what? So we're just looking at his stuff. And I remember it was a picture of Ian jumping off of this like cliff or something. And she's like, oh, and he's in dental school and blah, blah, blah. And look at his smile. I was going through all these things. It's funny. And I didn't really think anything of it. So she, on my phone, clicked add friend. So she friend requested him or whatever. And so 7 days later, I'm at home and I get a notification from the other guy, or no, I get a notification that Ian Barnard has accepted your friend request. And I was like, what? And then right away, the other guy messages me, and I knew we only had one friend in common, and it was him. I knew that it had something to do with Ian. So he messaged me and he said, hey, I just wanted to tell you that my competition on the show thinks that you're cute. And I said, yeah, about that. We stalked the guy. Sorry about that. But I'll message him because I didn't friend request him. And I was feeling a little like, I don't know, defensive. And the reason I was feeling defensive was because that entire week, I'm not even kidding you guys, that entire week I had 10 people message me. We had one friend in common on Facebook, and they'd be like, hey, you want to go out? And I would be like, what? You don't even know me. Like, we have this one friend in common. How are you even finding me on here? And I was starting to get defensive about it. So the same situation, we had one friend in common, and I was thinking, oh, Ian probably thinks that I'm a weirdo creeper. Like, I thought about these other people, you know, so I'm going to defend myself. So the other guy said, you know, I really think you'd actually like each other. That's what he said. And I was like, well, I'm going to message him and I'll tell him, you know, I didn't add him, whatever. So I message him and then Ian and I started talking and he's like, we just were friends talking. And then I did some other training stuff with the army and he was gone. He was doing some dental mission work in Haiti or something like that. And we were coming home the same weekend. It was the 4th of July weekend. And we didn't have any plans. And the halfway point from where his dental school was to my family's home, or my home, was his actual hometown. So he said, well, do you want to come, you know, to my hometown and you can stay for the weekend and we can like ride mopeds, horses, whatever, just have fun together. And at first I was like, oh, I don't know. That feels like it's kind of scary to me, you know? And he's like, well, we don't have to stay in the same room of anything. Of course, like you can be in one room. My family will be there. I just thought it'd be a good opportunity for us to meet. And I'm like, well, that sounds fun. And I remember I vowed that I would do all the things that scared me. And I remember I did this at a church, like church service. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to do this. Like, for some reason, this feels right. And I remember calling one of my best friends and she's like, now tell me the address, like on the way there. Like, how can we find you? Like, you know, just like all worried about it and everything. So I get there and I meet Ian and I just felt like he was like, my best friend. Like, it felt so comfortable being around him. And I remember back in the day, my sister used to tell me that it was, she's like, you know, Ange, when you find the person that you are supposed to be with, it's not going to feel hard. You're not going to have to manipulate it. Because you always kind of feel like we need to, like, I don't know, or like we're questioning around what someone thinks. Like, do they like me? Or are they just making things complicated? Blah, blah, blah. Like, straight up, if someone likes you, it's very, very obvious that they like you. I personally think they make it known. They don't like girls for some reason like to think that people play games. And it's like, no, like, guys will straight up say, if I like you, you're going to know. I'm going to pursue you. Right? So anyways, that's a random side note. So I met Ian and obviously we hit it off and we were just buddies. And I just felt like it was so easy. Like, it just felt easy and it was so fun being around him. And anyways, 2 years after that, he proposed to me on that same weekend. Which is the proposal part was so fun and such a fun surprise. And anyways, like one of the cutest, sweetest proposals. That'll be another story at a different time. That I totally did not see coming. I did not see the proposal coming at all. I was eating crackers and jerky. Like, can I just tell you the proposal? Okay, well. All right, so this is how it worked. Ian had contacted all our friends and family. He even went and visited my dad and asked him if he could marry me. And I had no idea that, so my dad, my whole family, some of our closest friends had drove out to the farm that we ended up getting married at, his grandparents' farm, but they were cleaning out the barn and everything, getting everything ready, like just for his cousin's wedding. So his cousin was Miss Indiana. And I think there was a gap between when you're Miss Indiana, so she won Miss Indiana, but there was a gap because she was going to get married that year, if I remember correct, but she didn't because you can't be married if you're Miss Indiana. You have to, because that would be Mrs., right? So she had to postpone it. So there was a lot of work happening in the barn. Like, they were trying to fix that up for her wedding. So long story short, it was 4th of July weekend and I thought we were going to go watch fireworks somewhere or go to some dinner or something. And I remember he was like pressuring me to wear something nice and I had like yoga pants on and he's like, well, why don't you know wear a nice dress? I'm like, I don't really want to. We're just going to be sitting around. I want to wear yoga pants. And I'm like, what? Why are you pressuring me? It's because he had hired a photographer to take pictures and probably would be better if I wasn't maybe in my yoga pants. So anyways, he had his mom in on it where she would call him and say that we needed to stop and at the farm and water the horses. Before we went to this dinner that we were going to, and he was going to argue with her and say we didn't have enough time, and they knew that I would be like, just do it. So that's what happened. So I was like, just do it. It's no big deal. We'll stop over there. So as we pulled in and I'm eating my crackers and my jerky, he's like, can you look down and check the weather? And I was like, can I do it later? Because my phone was underneath the seat. And he's like, can you do it now? And I'm like, really? So I was looking down and he wanted me to look down because everybody's cars were like parked around the silos and kind of some were sticking out and he didn't want me to be suspicious. He wanted to be surprised. So then he went on and said, hey, you want to go see the barn, how they did all these updates to it to get ready for the wedding? You want to see everything? Because, you know, someday I want to get married in the barn and everything. I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. So I walk with him into the barn And he's like holding my hand. He's like, close your eyes because I want, it's so cool what they did. I want to show you. I'm like, okay, whatever. Close my eyes. And he's like, all right, open your eyes. So I open my eyes and I'm at the edge of the top part of the barn. So it's multiple stories. And I'm at the edge of the top part of the barn. And I open my eyes. I see my dad and I see a bunch of our friends and family. And I'm like, what? And it felt like it was foggy. I thought, my first thought was that we had ran into somebody else's party. And then I was like, wait, why is my dad here? And then I was like, is this an intervention? What is happening right now? And anyways, it took a long time for it to hit. I was like, what? And then I like turn around and like Ian's down on his knee and he's like shaking and he's asking me to marry him. And it was really cute. And there was a photographer that was hidden. And I, you know, what's so funny is Ian and I were training for a marathon. We were about to leave for the marathon. And Ian was like that morning in church, he was like, I remember he was bleeding, like he had blood in his poop in a nutshell. And I was like, oh my gosh, is something wrong with you? Because he was all like, because it was like 2 days before he had the blood issue. And then like that day in church, he was all nervous. And like I touched his hands and they were all clammy and sweaty. And I'm like, man, we gotta get you in the hospital or something because you were bleeding, you had blood in your stool. And then now you're all clammy and sweaty. Well, turns out he was so nervous because it was the day that he was proposing to me. So it's kind of funny. But anyways, that's the story. So I met Ian. So my whole point of this is because I really believe that I was able to attract someone of his caliber, his ways. Like he, like I just adore him. And I really feel like we're such a good match. We have the same values and I just love, and I'm so proud of the life that we've created. But in order for me to attract someone like him into my life, I had to be the kind of person that he would even want to be with. I had to get clear on who I even wanted to be with first and foremost. So this whole process of that book from True Love, what True Love Dates taught and what Andy Stanley talked about, that quote, to be the person you're looking for is looking for, really helped me out. So I'm just saying to anyone who is on that journey or anyone that you know, my biggest advice for them is to get clear on what they are looking for in someone ideally and what they are not looking for. What are going to be the red lights that the things that stop don't pursue? Maybe if they have these certain issues, maybe if they lack faith, maybe if they're not, if they don't live a life that's in alignment with your values, I say that that is big red flags to you. Like, for example, my friend and I were just talking about how, you know, she follows a very much more of a vegetarian diet. And it's just really important for her to be live a life like that. And this other guy that was wanting to pursue her, like, actually cooks a bunch of meat for a living, like eats a bunch of meat, cooks a bunch of meat. And she was just kind of like, no, like, this is so not in alignment with my values. Like, I want someone that's very health conscious. And to me, that's not, it's just not in alignment for her. It's so important to her. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10, very important to me. And to someone else, if that's a 1 to them, that's not a good match, right? And you can find someone. So think about it in values in that way, like assessing how important things are to you and finding people that match up with your values. So again, in summary, get clear on what you're looking for in someone, what you're not looking for, what are the red lights going to be for you? And then trust. Have the faith and let it go. Like, you made the list, you let it go. I forgot to mention this is like when I told Ian about this whole list thing, I was like, this might sound weird to you, but I did this. And he was like, I did the exact same thing. And he pulled out on his phone and showed me all the things that he had wrote down. And both of us, we could check, like, we are that person, but we're above and beyond what we could imagine. And that's how God works. God will help you align you with the person that you're supposed to be with in ways that you can't even imagine. And it's going to be so much better than you can even imagine, but he is still asking you to make your desires known. That is my point. And there's so many people I know out there that are searching for their significant other. But if I'm like, what are you actually looking for in someone? They kind of struggle even answering that. And I would say, get clear about your values. Get clear about what you're looking for in someone and be the person you're looking for is looking for. That's you being a match to finding that person. And if you're not a match to finding that person, you ain't going to find them. Okay, so that's my advice in a nutshell. I hope you enjoyed this episode and I thank you so much for being here and leave a review if you haven't. Have an awesome day. Talk to you soon. Bye.